The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Before I go into the message, that song resonates in a whole lot of ways. There's a whole lot of rhetoric, a whole lot of foolish speaking that's happening in the world, and it's convoluting and it's crowding our thoughts and our minds. The Bible says that it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. The Bible also says that it's out of the heart come the issues of life. And there are a whole lot of things that are happening that start out just entering into our ears and they roll around in our minds, but they're starting to seep and creep into our hearts. And that song is saying, Lord, I need you to search me. I need you to cleanse me right now. We're about to hear from God, but we can't hear from God if there's a whole lot of other hearing going on. So just for a moment, you need to just let this. I know we have an order of service, but it's always in order to ask God to come in and take over. Come on, somebody. So whether you know the song or the rhythm of the song or the words, you need to say, Lord, right now, speak to my heart. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right now. Lord, right. You got a decision to make, but speak, Lord, to my heart. You've got some things going on in your life, but you need God to speak. Worries and concerns, but Lord, speak. Loved ones that you're concerned about, financial concerns, your children, but Lord, right now, speak. You say you got issues, but remember, it's from your heart that the issues of life come. So what's weighing on your heart right now? Ask God to speak. Because if you're not careful, you think that there's only one voice in the United States that's speaking for everybody. But the Lord God says, no, I'm still speaking. And he says, my sheep know my voice. Are there any of God's sheep in this house? Come on, somebody. Are there any believers in the house right now? Speak, dear God. Speak. Speak to somebody's, quiet somebody's disquieted spirit. Lift up somebody's bowed down head. Encourage somebody right now. But Lord, we need you to speak. Take over right now. Let your presence fill this place. We're going to hear a word, but dear God, we need to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word. Hallelujah. Song says, speak to my heart. As a matter of fact, dear God, when you speak, things come into existence. When you speak, Lord, life comes about. Speak life right now unto somebody in the name of Jesus. Lord, at your name, the Bible says that demons tremble. Speak right now, Lord Jesus. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. We say it all the time, but each time we say it, it means that much more at the time that we say it. But if we ever needed you before, surely we need you right now. We needed you on yesterday, but yesterday is gone. If we see tomorrow, we're going to need you on tomorrow, but tomorrow is not promised. If we ever needed you before, we need you right now. Right now. And Lord, we need you to speak. Start with us. Speak to our hearts and then use us. Let us be your hands and your feet. Let us be your heart for your people. For Lord, this is a dying world that we are living in. But dear God, you still seek those who are lost, desire to save those who are lost, but you need the redeemed of the Lord to say so. We need to speak. After you speak, we need to speak. It's not just our words. We need to speak by our actions and our attitude and our behaviors need to reflect you. You said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So take the reins of our minds right now. And Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, hide me that you would be seen and silence me that you would be heard. Lord, this is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Second Kings chapter 5, if you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you do so. Before if the young people, if you all want to go downstairs, you're welcome to go. Amen. Second Kings chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of those verses. I'm really only going to read verse 1. It's a familiar passage of scripture, but remember, every time we open up the word of God, we ought to ask God, Lord, what are you saying to me? And what are you saying about me, especially in these days and times that we're living in? There's some inspiration that will come about, but there will be some confirmation that will come about, but we're praying for divine revelation. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. I'm actually going to be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Of course, there are other verses that will come, but you know what that means when I say it this morning or just on today, just for a little while with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to just talk about when God says seven. When God says seven, you may be seated in the presence of our God. When God says seven, amen, amen, and amen. The Bible says that Naaman was a great man. He was an honorable man. Thank you so much. He was an honorable man, and God had used him to bring forth deliverance to the people of his day. But Deacon Ferris, Naaman had a problem. It would be appropriate to say right here that great people are not perfect people. Somebody should say amen to that, amen. Regardless of how strong someone may appear to be, they are only human, and as humans, they have problems too. Now, I know that there are some people who want to come, especially when they're in church, want to come across as a super Christian. From the pulpit to the door, they want to come across as a super Christian. Super Christians never make mistakes. They never mistreat anybody. They're always good and have never done anything bad, and as a result, they don't have any problems. But for the rest of us humans, come on somebody, the rest of us who are actually human, and as humans, we've made some mistakes and actually have some problems. Come on somebody. But the immediate good news I need somebody to see right here in verse 1 of this text is that God uses imperfect people. Somebody should say amen. Somebody should shout hallelujah to that. In other words, amen. In other words, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be without fault. We don't have to be without any weaknesses or shortcomings for God to use us. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." That I'd encourage somebody in here today who's been sitting on the sidelines because you're still wrestling with an issue in your flesh, teach Holy Ghost, or you're still fighting certain fleshly desires, or you're struggling with a habit. Aren't you glad? I know I am, but aren't you glad that you didn't have to answer a questionnaire? Huh? Come on, somebody. Or pass a physical or a spiritual exam to be saved. I can't get no help in here. You just had to call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah up in here. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you something about Naaman? The Bible says he was a great man, not only because he was a great warrior, but also because he was willing to admit that he had a problem. It takes a certain amount of greatness in a man or a woman to admit that they have a problem. Hear me when I say that some folk are more than ever before, especially in these days, whether publicly or privately, whether on social media, email, or sound bites, talk Holy Ghost, folk are quick to point out everybody else's problems, everybody else's faults, while conveniently overlooking their own. Can I tell you something else that's about Naaman? Naaman also learned the art of listening. The Bible says that he heard from a little slave girl that there was a prophet in Israel who could help her master. Now, let me just park it right here for just a little while, Brother Miller, because let me talk about this little maiden girl right here in verses 2 and 3 of your text. I hope you didn't close your Bible. What a wonderful Christian spirit this little girl showed. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, the problem is, while most slave girls would have been happy to hear of their captor's illness, woo, Jesus, she desired his well-being. Stephanie, she exemplified Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5:44, where it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, come on now. It's just us. We said we didn't have any first-time visitors. It's just us. So let's just be honest. If this little slave girl had been just like most people we know, not y'all, not us, And don't look sideways at your neighbor. But we know folk. We know some folk who've enjoyed watching their enemies suffer, and they call it payback. They tell me that karma is a mm-mm. Greg Moore, you got me? I just want to know. They say karma is a woo-hoo. Mm-hmm. The jail you planned for me is the one you're going to rot in. I curse you till you do right by me everything you think about is going to crumble. In my best Sealy of the Color Purple voice. Need some honest folk in the house. But this little slave girl in the text directed Naaman to the prophet. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down, because I want to share to you what the Holy Spirit revealed to me after a fresh look at this passage. So yes, she did direct Naaman to the prophet. But Brother Bell, what we're supposed to see is that not only did she direct Naaman to the prophet, we need to see that she knew where the power was. God Almighty. Woo, Jesus. She knew where the power was. See, one of the most important things in our life is to know where the power is. Padded pews and stained glass windows, they don't add up to power. Come on, somebody. A 5-pound cross around your neck and a family Bible under your arm does not add up to power. There can be great talent, great skill, great recognition among people, but that does not add up to power. Too many people are looking for prestige when they should be looking for power. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, it says, But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I need some Bible readers in here. Amen. See, watch the text. Verse 4 and 7, because Naaman appeals to the king. Good God Almighty. Can I teach just for a little while? He appeals to the king. Why is that significant? Well, because Deacon Griffith, Naaman assumes that position is power. Holy Spirit, speak in this modern day and age. Naaman assumes that position is power. So if there is any power, he assumes it must be with the king. Now, watch the text, because the king interprets Naaman's request as an effort to start a fight. Why? Oh, Jesus, y'all got to hear this. Y'all got to hear this in 2017. The king interprets Naaman's request. See, Lampkin, I heard what you were saying in Sunday school. That's why the Holy Spirit is going to wrap it up. The king interprets Naaman's request as an effort to start a fight. Why? Because he's powerless to help him. But rather than admit his impotency, he accuses Naaman of being a troublemaker. God Almighty. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Have you been reading the news? Instead of admitting his impotency, he accuses Naaman of being a troublemaker. If you take a note, you need to write this down. Just because a person has a position before people and the world does not mean that they got a relationship with God. Religion can never substitute for the reality of relationship. When religion can't produce, it always shifts the blame. Religious people will never say, it's my fault. I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm sorry I haven't been praying and fasting like I should. I'm sorry, it's not God's fault. It's not your fault. This one's on me. But no, instead they shift the blame. They say it's your lack of faith. It's your environment. It's your fault. As a matter of fact, it's you want people to do everything for you. It's your fault, Puerto Rico. But we got folk throwing rhetoric back at the wrong person when all they're doing is shifting the blame because they don't want to admit that they don't have no power. People do that all the time. Shift it. It's on you. Watch the text. Because in verses 8 through 11, because the prophet of God sends a message to redirect Naaman, that's what we need to be praying for. That there be some redirection. The Bible says that the prophet Elisha says, send him to me. Send him to me. Talking to somebody here who's been caught up, and if you're not careful, you'll get caught down in all this stuff. Sometimes God has to redirect our faith. And it just might be what's going on. Every now and then, God will allow confusion and chaos to happen because he needs to redirect our faith. Amen. Yes, Naaman had faith, at least faith enough to keep him moving. But it was misguided faith. I mean, we all exercise some form of faith every day. Heard this on yesterday. I mean, you exercise some faith when you came and sat your, you know what, down on them pews and chairs. I said behind Greg Moore. Greg has got his mouth open. He said, what is wrong with Pastor today? Yeah, you exercise some faith when you came and plopped down on the pews, and you plopped down without even checking if they would support you. You assume that they would do what they were supposed to do. Well, Naaman assumed that power was with position. He assumed that he had the power because he had power with men. He thought he was powerful. He thought that if you got power with the people, that you also got power with God. So Naaman arrives at the prophet Elisha's house. But the Bible says that Elisha doesn't meet him personally. Said he sent a messenger. Huh? Not only did Elisha not meet him personally, not only did he send out a messenger, but the Bible says he told Naaman to go and dip 7 times. He said, 7 times, but I need you to dip in a particular river. It's the Jordan River. And when you dip 7 times, you'll be healed. Now, here's Naaman. Of course, he got power to say, you're fired. But here's Naaman. I mean, the audacity of these folk. I mean, can you imagine, Greg Moore? Brother Jack, Naaman said, does he know who I am? Y'all know how y'all talk. Huh? Matter of fact, we don't just say that, Brother Prince. We say, who in the does he think he is? Huh? Y'all know? Shh. Please. The Bible says Naaman was hot. But there's a teaching moment here. See, when we run out of, instead of raising our argument, we love to raise our voice. And when we run out of stuff to say that's competent, we just cuss. I mean, you ain't understanding everything else I'm saying, so understand this. Got time to come at you like Chris Tucker? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Well, you gonna understand this. Some of y'all laughing because y'all just had a conversation like that this morning or last night. Come on, somebody. But watch the teaching moment here. Because you got to ask yourself when you're reading the text, why is he angry? Huh? See, that's where we got to get revelation. Why is he angry? Because on the surface, it looks like disrespect. And you know, we don't put up much with disrespect. Mm-mm, no. And that's what's going on now. That word is being bantered around. You're disrespecting this, or you're disrespecting that. Folk feel disrespected because you did or didn't do this. Disrespected because you did or didn't do that. And on the surface, in our flesh, that's what we coming back with. So nobody's getting to the issues of life. So on the surface, it looks like disrespect. I mean, that's what we see. And that's what we would discuss in the fleshly realm. Ah, but in the spirit realm, instead of all this name calling, we need to see the spirit realm. What are we supposed to see? He's angry because he had a preconceived idea of how he was supposed to receive his blessing. Teach, Holy Ghost. I say it again. He's angry because he has a preconceived notion or idea of how he was supposed to receive his blessing. Now, that's a whole message in and of itself right there. That'll preach by itself right there. I mean, if you can't say amen, at least say ouch. I mean, come on now. Let's keep this thing all the way real. How many of us have preconceived ideas of how we want God to bless us? Huh? I mean, we want to tell God when, how, where, how much, and who to use to get our blessing to us. Amen. And when we don't get what we think we need or supposed to have, boy, listen. Yeah. Naaman thought the prophet would come out, wave his hands over the place, and the job would be done, and he would just go home with his blessing. Amen. But whether we want to admit it or not, Miller, we're just like Naaman a whole lot of times. The preacher, the teacher, the deacon, the usher, and the pew were just like Naaman a whole lot of times. We're willing to throw out to God what we want him to do, willing to even show him the places we want him to see. We're quick to let God see those surface issues. That stuff that doesn't really matter a whole lot to us anyway. Or, in other words, we just show him that fleshly stuff. But can I tell you something? If you're taking notes, write this down. God wants to do more than just fix your flesh issue. God wants to do more than just fix your money problem. He wants to do more than just fix your habit problem. He wants to do more than just fix your relationship problem, etc. God wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart. So it doesn't matter if he give you a new man if you got a heart issue. Doesn't matter if he give you a new woman if you got heart issues. Doesn't matter if he give you more money, more money, more money. There's going to be more money, more problems if you don't get your heart issue together. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's a heart issue. It is the disease of the heart that's the source of most of the sickness and the darkness in our world today. That's why I say a whole lot of this stuff is diversion. Folk trying to don't want you to know how sick they are. Folk don't want you to know how not so well they are. So if I can keep you looking at this or that, then you won't look at me. Heart disease, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, rebellion, pride, etc. It might have been a combination of all those short list of things that I just mentioned that might have been hurting and even killing Naaman from the inside. Yes, he had leprosy in his body, teach Holy Ghost. But he had some hidden things on the inside of him that was killing his soul. We judge folk by their behavior. God judges us by our intentions. God checks out our motives. God checks out our heart. God is not impressed that we showed up to church. But can I tell you something else? Neither is the devil. God is not impressed when you show up to work. We think because we show up, I'm supposed to get a raise. Amen. God ain't impressed with that. God said, you forgot to thank me for the fact that I raised you up this morning. Naaman had leprosy in his body. We got some flesh stuff that we go to God about. But he had some hidden things on the inside of him that was killing his soul, but he didn't want to deal with that. But before Naaman could be healed of the disease of his flesh, I'm talking to somebody. This is going to help you in your prayer life. Before Naaman could be healed of the disease of his flesh, he had to be delivered from the disease of his soul. You've been down on your knees talking to God, frustrated because you haven't gotten your breakthrough. God has said, because you haven't broken through with what you really need to be praying about. Searching your heart right now. Couldn't be healed of the disease of his flesh until he had been delivered from the disease in his soul. What good is a lot of money? I know you're saying the show do me a whole lot more good than what I got now. I get it. Wait a minute, Reverend. Don't go there. Today is the first. Bills are due, Doc. And by the third, I'm going to have more month than money. But what good is a lot of money or a new car or a new house or a new healthy body or even a new boo? Come on, somebody. If your heart is full of disease. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? I got any Bible readers? I know it. It's ought to come to what? out of it are the issues of life. Watch the full progression of Naaman's issues here in verses 8 through 11 that got his pressure way up and his blood boiling. Because not only did he get instructions by a messenger, Sister Cindy, the Bible says he had to go dip in a muddy, murky Jordan River. Even that would have been all right, but he said, I don't mind dipping, but they got a whole lot of big, beautiful, clean rivers where I'm from. I'm in the text. But not only do I need to dip in the murky waters, Deacon McFarland, the Bible says he needed to dip 7 times. Can I teach on that? Huh? 7 times. Taking notes, write this down. It might be up there. 7, of course, is completion, but 7 also equals total obedience. God Almighty. 7 is not only completion. 7 equals total obedience. Anything less would not be partial obedience. See, come on now. We rationalize in the church and all over the world. Anything less would not be partial obedience. See, that's how we rationalize and justify just about anything we can do or say. We are partially obedient, but no, partial obedience, in fact, is just plain old disobedience. There's no middle ground. It's just disobedience. You are either in or outside of the will of God. God has permissive and divine, but you can be outside of both. Even when he allows you to do what you want to do, the Holy Spirit can't make you do or not do what you want to do, but he sure enough can take the joy out of it. Even partial obedience is just flat out disobedience. Anything less than 7 would be disobedience, and in essence, he will be disqualifying himself for the blessing. Some of you are wondering right now, why you haven't gotten the blessing you desired. You've done something right, but you haven't done it all right. Now watch the semantics there. I said you've done something right, but you haven't done it all right, but yet you want everything to be all right. It just won't work. When God says 7, then killing 6 won't do. When God says 7, 6.5 won't even do. Many times, we're like Naaman. We're willing to obey God as far as it makes sense to us. We're willing to obey God as long as it doesn't make us look weird or goofy. We're willing to obey God more. Help me today, Doc. We're willing to obey God as long as it's convenient and as long as it's comfortable. But if you're going to receive the blessing that God has for you, I know we preached on it last week. What God has for me, it is for me. And I thank God for the powerful word that came through. But if you're going to receive the blessing that God has for you, heard it today, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. But can I tell you something else? It's going to cost you more than your money. So you can keep your money. You can sit on your check every Sunday. What God wants is more than your money. God, what he requires from you and me is obedience. That's where it's at. He requires obedience. So guess what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your pride. He requires obedience. So guess what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your plans. He requires obedience. So guess what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your preconceived ideas. He requires obedience. So guess what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your little feelings and your emotions. He requires obedience. Because every dip in the Jordan was actually stripping Naaman of the disease of his heart. Reason why God, we haven't gotten a blessing from God because we ain't been stripped. Reason why we haven't got the blessing from God is because we have not submitted. He requires obedience. God says seven. He don't mean just do it as much until you get tired. Wow. There are so many things not to like about Naaman. Because, you know, we big on cutting folk off. We don't even need a full list. If you make up 3/4 of the list, you cut off, done. Through. Out. Khadijah, don't need you. Greg, ain't nothing good on TV. I've been watching Hulu. But while there are a whole lot of things not to like about Naaman, the one thing I do admire about him, Sister Mays, happy birthday. The one thing I do admire about him is as you read the rest of the chapter, and I hope you do, one thing that I found out about him is that Naaman was a finisher. Yes, sir. There's a whole lot not to like about him. But if you want to pick out a good quality, make sure that before you cut somebody off, at least find one good quality in them. And the reason why you can find one good quality in them is because minimally God woke them up, and that's you. So even when we don't like somebody to the point that we can't stand them, even though there was at least one good quality, Sister Stephanie, that I found in Naaman, and that was he was a finisher. Naaman understood commitment. Listen, not commitment is one of them big words. If you want to see some committed folk, you might not always see Christians as the most committed, but you look at some of these other religions and relationships, they are committed. One thing I see about Naaman is he was committed and he was a finisher. He understood perseverance. Once he made up his mind to do it, it took total commitment. That's what we need. That's what not only what the world needs, but it's got to start in the church. We need men and women who are not just showing up to get blessed, but they're committed to the work. We need men and women who aren't just showing up just to check it off the box. But you can count on them to finish what they started because they're faithful and they'll see it all the way through. Yeah, it's going to cost you something, but no matter what the cost, no matter how long it takes, no matter what people might say about you, you need to be in it to win it. As I get ready to close, I'm talking to somebody. And I need to let you know that God never said everything was going to be easy. He never said that there wouldn't be any rain. He never said that you wouldn't have to fight hell sometimes. He never said that you would understand everything you're going through or everything that he wants you to do. God never said that you wouldn't be criticized or persecuted. He never said that there would not be detours or delays. But perseverance always wins. From Genesis to Revelation, perseverance always wins. When God says 7, 6 won't do. 7 is the number of completion. As a matter of fact, I can add to the definition. It's the number of maturity. It's the number of harvest. 7 is where man's obedience and God's power intersect. There's a word from God for every situation in your life. But through your obedience and your faith will then intersect with the power of God. And as a result, you will see the manifestation of God's power in your life. Gotta ask you a question before I open the doors of the church. What is it? What is it? What is it today? What is it today that you are allowing to cheat you out of your blessing of God? What is it? Is it your pride? Is it your fear? Is it what people might think or say about you? I listened to this morning's Sunday school lesson, and we are hard on Abraham, but we don't know what was going on in his emotions. We know what God told him. He said, leave everybody. And the Bible says he brought Lot. But there's a whole lot of stuff that we bring along that God said, you bring that along, and it might be your comfort, and it might make you comfortable, or you might be cozy, but I need you to cut that loose. What's preventing you from getting your blessing? Is it your feelings or your emotions? Is it just plain old laziness? Is it lukewarmness, if you will, or indifference? Listen, listen, listen. There are just simply no shortcuts to the power of God. Very plainly and very simply, when God says 7, 6 won't do. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.